All right. Stop it. Jesus. Fucking kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is completely free. So if you want to show any support whatsoever, we ask you to do a couple things. First off, go to our Facebook page and like and share the Facebook page. Then you jump on over to iTunes, hit subscribe on that motherfucker. And then the podcast comes to you fresh and easy when it's ready. You don't have to do shit after you hit the subscribe button. And then if you want to help out more, you have to do one more thing after you hit the subscribe button, so I kind of lied to you. You go and you rate the motherfucking podcast, and you give it 5 stars, because we deserve it. And then you write a review about the podcast, so then when other motherfuckers come find the podcast, they're like, 5 stars? They must have deserved that. Let's read some of these reviews. Ooh, man, they talk about everything I want to talk about. Ooh, they're so witty and hilarious, and they think well on their feet. God damn, I need to listen to this podcast. And then they subscribe and write reviews, and then pretty soon we take over the world.
You done?
Yeah, oh yeah, follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
Motherfuck yeah. Let's do this.
Comes naturally, we are
Joe,
Mike,
and I'm Cody. We're no special guest today, so we're just the three of us.
I don't know why that was funny.
No, I was going to say something else, and I was like, well, I'm not going to say we're running solo because there's three of us.
We're the Lone Rangers.
The Lone Rangers. Because there's three of us. Shit. Welcome to the show. If you can tell from the beginning of everything, this is definitely off the cuff. But it's a news, entertainment news centric off the cuff. So we will go completely off the rails like normal, but we'll have some kind of structure because we have stuff to talk about.
Yes.
So no randomness about cartoons we want to fuck, right, Mike?
Maybe.
Who knows? Depends on what the movies are.
Depends on what cartoon I want to fuck at the time. That was weird.
That was weird.
So what we're doing now, and you'll get a little taste of it today, and then
we'll go over our discussions of what we were doing last
yes.
week.
Yep. And then you'll see it'll be a reoccurring theme that we're going to try to stick to. It might not work, but it might. And if you like it, let us know. And if you don't, whatever. So basically what we're going to do, we haven't figured out the exact format of it yet, but we're going to all have something to either watch, play, review, read, listen to if we want to do music. So basically we all have like an assignment every week now to learn, you know, do whatever we got to do and then come back and give a review on it. Last week we recorded a podcast and you're never going to hear that one probably. So we started this last week. But we had to give you a little background on it. We all kind of picked a movie for each other. Cody, what was your movie?
Ernest Saves Christmas.
Joe, what was your movie?
The Last Day on Mars.
And my movie was The Hunter. So we all watched it last week. And we're going to come back, talk about it a little bit. After we get through those, our thoughts on it and what we, you know, high points, low points, all that shit. We'll get into what we're going to be reviewing for next week, which Cody picked out some graphic novels for us to read. So, Cody, you want to go first?
All right. So, mine was the classic Ernest Saves Christmas, my official first Christmas movie of the year.
Yep.
It's followed up by Die Hard, which I watched the other night.
Definitely a Christmas movie.
When are you going to get around to Scrooge?
Eventually. I mean, I get.
It'll know. Be on TV, so I mean.
But I bought the Blu-ray, so yeah. I'm watching that shit for shows. The Ernest, if you don't remember Ernest P. Worrell from his TV show as well as many movies, is the world's first Dumb and Dumber, all in one person.
Yeah.
He messes stuff up, he dresses in costume, he, you know, screws stuff up and then somehow fixes it.
And when he's not in costume, he wears the same clothes all the time.
Yep, he looks exactly
Dumb and Dumberish.
Three things that I picked up from this movie. The inappropriate way that someone treats a teenager, because everyone stares at the little girl who's like a Punky Brewster ripoff and is like, hey, and like borderline inappropriate to her. Borderline inappropriately to her. It's ridiculous. Like, people are like, oh, hey, what do you, oh, you're a little girl. So I can't look at that. It's like a 30-year-old playing like a like runaway like 15-year-old or something. Santa Claus is out of his goddamn mind.
As per usual.
Yep. Yeah.
They're going after a guy who basically looks exactly like Santa Claus, and then they make him shave his beard from horror movies and they do. But ridiculous. Then the most inappropriate thing that I saw of the whole thing was Ernest drove a cab in the beginning of the movie before he got fired. And that's where you get introduced to Santa Claus for the first time. Any guesses on what the number of his cab was?
69.
Yep. Cab number 69. I was like, you could have picked any other number.
Yep.
But that one. So I thought that was kind of weird, that a kid's movie in a way.
You know what I mean? It wasn't really a kid's movie. None of them were really movies.
That way. And then like, but then it has like the brothers in it. You know, Bobby and them.
Vern.
Really funny. Vern is in it at one point. Less in this one than he is in anything else, because like, he actually goes to Vern's house.
He's not really in any of the movies.
Well, yeah, but like involved in the movie.
Yeah.
But like, he goes to Vern's house and destroys it, and Vern kicks him out, and he gets electrocuted at one point. Yeah, that's fun stuff. The end of the movie.
He was kind
of,
sorry to cut you off, he was kind of like the first human cartoon, huh?
Oh, easily. Like, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like, he's basically Bugs Bunny in real life, because they couldn't get the copyrights to Bugs Bunny. Yeah.
So yeah, he dresses in crazy costumes. This one really only had two, I think, really, because he was the old lady, and then he was a snake farmer. Because they had to sneak into a movie studio, so he disguised the Santa Claus. He put Santa Claus in the back of his pickup truck, covered in a tarp, and had him pretend to be snakes. And
that's he was right.
In the movie studio to pretend as a snake wrangler for a horror movie. And so he had like a rattle, baby rattle, and then a hose, and he had to like rub it against the tarp underneath and make the rattling noise. It was really funny. And then when he's waiting for Santa Claus to come out from talking to Joe, who's not just Joe, but Joe in the movie, to taking over for him, whoever thinks he's nuts, obviously, he's sitting there, and a guy comes out, hey, you, because he's got the snake logo on the side of his truck. He's like, you the snake guy? Yeah, I am. He does this awful voice. He's got a Sharpie tooth that makes it look black, and he goes, all right, here's your snakes. He dumps them, and he goes, that's really funny. I was like, because it said snakes, it's got snakes, and it was really funny. But yeah, so he didn't use nearly his costumes as he does in some of the other ones, but he does the funny voice and the, you know, all that fun stuff, and he's obsessed with Christmas. Saves a Christmas tree from being killed on the freeway. But almost kills the guys in the back of his car. That's pretty funny. But feels get turned on at the end of the movie. Start feeling bad, yeah. Which I don't remember.
I can't remember it at all.
Yeah, I didn't remember that part of it.
Very little of it.
But I was like, well, I love it. The allergies are kicking in.
So what's your favorite Ernest movie?
Scared Stupid.
Yeah, that's what I would have to say,
which
too.
Which I just
watched. That was like the most popular one, too, right? Wasn't that like...
Ernest Goes to Camp, I think, no... I looked it up, but yeah, I think it was might have been Scared Stupid was the most popular one,
because he did a shit ton of them.
Yeah,
yeah,
and like Zaff, that, and like those TV shows. And I know he did like little specials too.
Yeah, well, Ernest, what I didn't know until I looked it up, and I'll get to why I looked it up in a minute. It started off as a character for TV commercials, and it's just basically like, and then someone's like, hey, like. It's a pretty good character. I was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
But there's actually a Jim Varney documentary that I want to watch. I have to try to find it.
That sounds amazing.
It would be awesome.
So basically what happened is when I sat down to watch the movie, just like anything else I do in life, I tweeted about it. Because
it's what you do.
Yep. I live out social media life. And the Jim Varney Foundation retweeted it and favorited it. And I was like, where's it? And then I click on it, and it's like, there's a documentary. I was like, I got to find this and watch it, because Jim Varney's awesome. And the other thing that I learned from this movie versus all the other ones is he's one sweaty dude. He looked super gross and super moist the entire movie. Like, they just, like, they didn't have...
I don't think you should say he looks super moist.
Too fucking bad.
You could say sweaty.
Like, yeah. Too fucking bad. No, because when you see him, he looks super moist. Like, someone's, like, every time they cut... Someone grabs the spritzer and goes, there you go, Mr. Varney.
Gotta keep you moist.
Gotta keep you moist for the kids. It's like, that's where I said it. So, like, it seemed really weird because, like, no matter what, it's Christmas time. Granted, it's Florida, so you know it's gonna be hot.
But it still should be cooler outside.
Cooler. But he's just super sweaty all the time. I was like, ugh. That hat's got to be gross.
All right, you know what I mean, on that, I don't know, this doesn't really make too much sense, but that is a Christmas movie. That was your first Christmas movie of the season.
Yep.
What is your favorite Christmas movie? Give me your top two.
We're going top two, not top three? We usually do top three.
Top two.
What? I have to make decisions? It would have to be Christmas Vacation and Die Hard.
Okay. That's why I said two, because I knew you were going to say Die Hard.
Well, Die Hard would be number two anyways.
Yeah, so... Well, I thought for sure you'd say Die Hard first. So,
no.
Joe, favorite Christmas movie? I'd say
it'd be a tie between Die Hard and Scrooge.
Okay.
Scrooge is three.
Scrooge. Yeah.
Scrooge is number one for me.
Christmas Vacation just gets me every time.
I think it's fun.
It's Scrooge
is my favorite of all time. And then number two would probably have to be Jingle All the Way.
Because of Arnie?
Who? No, it's because of that Sinbad
movie.
First off, those words have never been said. Unless the movie was Sinbad.
No, the actual pirate, not the comic.
The only time that...
He's fighting claymation skeletons.
The only time that sentence has been said is when someone's like standing over the $5 bin at Walmart. Oh, it's that Sinbad movie.
House Guest?
Oh,
let's see, House
First
Guest?
Kid?
First Kid.
That's the only two I can remember outside of Jingle All the Way.
Those are the only ones
but,
I don't remember.
Well, realistically.
He was in Necessary Roughness.
Oh, he wasn't that. Realistically, though, I've been on a Phil Hartman kick lately. I've been trying to go back and watch all the old Phil Hartman stuff that I can. He's hilarious in Jingle All the Way. It's real subtle.
Oh, that's right.
I know he's hilarious in anything. And people think, like... Obviously, that pick for me is like a Homer pick, you know, almost. Like, I know it's not the best, you know, I know it's not the second best Christmas movie.
I actually like it.
But me personally, I really
second
like
best, though?
No.
Okay.
I like it.
But rewatching it recently, like I did, Phil Hartman, of course, stands out in it. So good in it. So good in News Radio, too. I mean... Like, News Radio is not streaming on anything right now. It's pissing me off. I'm trying to find it.
Really? You would
like,
think it would
some
be.
Some of it, like, weird. It's like 10 episodes from season 4 is streaming on Crackle. I can't find it anywhere else. Yeah.
It was actually a pretty decent show.
Are they in order, at least? I mean, not that it matters if they're in order, but is it like...
No, it's not 1 through 10. It's like
10 episodes from the
best of season 4.
It's like
in the
chunk, like a middle chunk of it.
Best of News Radio.
Season four.
Top 10.
Episodes 3 through 10, missing some of the odd numbers.
So what it is actually there was 22 episodes. We picked episodes 2 and 3. 8 and 7, we did play them in that order. We picked 10, 13, and I think we picked 21. So yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So I got to find News Radio and rewatch that because I haven't really watched it since the original run. And like I said, I've been on a Phil Hartman kick lately, so that's something I gotta track down.
Yeah. All right. So that's Zerdan Saves Christmas. Mike,
my movie was The Hunter, a very different movie from Ernest Saves Christmas. Yeah. Biggest main character in it, William Dafoe, who everyone
Everybody
listening to this podcast would probably know who William Dafoe is.
The guy from Clear and Present Danger.
What was that one?
Yeah.
What was that one movie he did? It was based on real life. Greg Kinnear was in it, about the dude who starred in Hogan's Heroes.
Oh,
but like he had a like a twisted, like he was like a at home porno maker and stuff on his free time.
Oh, because that was real.
Yeah, it was all based on a true story. Craig Kinnear played the...
Yeah, I will find it. Just keep talking about your movie.
Anyway, that just made me... If you think of William Dafoe and you think of that movie, you're a weirdo, too.
Which is what you just did.
Which is what I just did, because that's weird. No, William Dafoe, Sam Neill was in it, which 100% no line at all. Had you asked me before I watched that movie, I would have said... Samuel's dead, right? Like Samuel died like in 2001. Like I would have said that.
Fair enough.
Turns out he didn't die in 2001.
His career did, maybe.
Well, he was in this movie. This came out in 2011. And he had a gun in it. He was shooting stuff. That was weird.
He did have both those. He did both those things, yes.
Yeah. the premise of the movie, I don't know. I don't really want to get into the premise too much. I guess kind of can, but...
Yeah. Give a quick synopsis of the story.
Basically, like, he kind of gets hired to go to Tasmania, right? To kill and get blood samples of a bunch of Tasmanian...
tigers or devils or whatever
wolves?
They're called.
What are they technically? Wolves?
Wolves, yeah.
In which, when they said Tasmania, the first thing I thought of, I was like,
oh, Taz is going to be in this.
I was like, that's going to be a weird
find like a kill shot on something that spins in a tornado. You know what I mean?
The bullet goes in, spins around, shoots back at him.
It's like a hunter defense.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
That's why Elmer Fudd.
That's the first thing I thought of. So, like, I was initially let down with the rest of the movie because there was no Looney Tunes in it.
This is sad. Why isn't this?
Wanted this to be sequel to Space Jam.
Oh, gross.
You're welcome.
You had to go there.
Be better than the one.
So and but he's also tasked with the duty of once you get these blood samples, you're supposed to kill off the rest of them so nobody else can get our research.
Seems kind of selfish.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
that does seem kind of mean.
And then someone goes and tries to kill William Dafoe, and he has to defend himself. And there's guns, and Dafoe's creepy and slick like a fucking...
you want Dafoe creepy. Being creepy. I'll give you a creepy Dafoe movie.
The Kinnear fucking movie, man.
No, autofocus, by the way.
Autofocus. That movie's fucking creepy. Weird.
No, I'll give you one.
Greg Kinnear did a really good job in it.
That's worse than that one, if you want. It's called The Antichrist.
Yeah.
It's called Antichrist.
Yeah, I saw it on TV a long time ago.
Yeah, it's from 2009. It's fucked up.
Anyway, William Dafoe, good action in it. He's super creepy in it. Sam Neill is still alive.
Disney territory, bro.
Sorry.
Definitely not.
You don't
that
fuck
one.
With them.
We'll bleep that out earlier.
I'll mess around with the White Stripes. I ain't fucking around with Disney. They'll send Iron Man over to blow your ass up.
Fuck, he's real.
the whole time I've been real.
These are called biographies, you dipshits.
Where have I been?
And the movie kind of cinematically kind of, if I don't know if anybody listening has seen The Gray, but it kind of felt like that watching it, like kind of sad and dreary, and there's no fucking colors in this movie at all. So it does a good job of, like, it instantly pulls your mood down and kind of sets you into their you know,
depressing, sad.
Like you're right there with it, ready to watch this movie. But it's good. Good action in it. A lot better action than I thought it was going to be. William Dafoe being a badass is pretty dope. You don't get to see that a whole lot. You got to see a little bit of it in John Wick, which obviously came after The Hunter, but I saw that before The Hunter. So after seeing The Hunter, I kind of understand how he made the jump to John Wick, played more of a badass because I had never really seen him anything like that before. But it was good. I liked it. I'd recommend it. Anybody who wants to watch it, Sam Neill,
William Dafoe.
Not shooting dinosaurs.
Not shooting dinosaurs.
He technically never shot at dinosaurs, did he?
No. Not dealing with dinosaurs.
Not chasing Spider-Man.
Fair enough. Yeah. Sam Neill didn't do that, but William Dafoe did, so yes. All right.
And... I was like, as soon as he said that, I was like, Sam Neill was never in a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Hello, he played the Green Goblin. I mean, where were you?
Joe?
Yeah, Joe, yours?
So
what was your movie?
I had the movie The Last Days on Mars. And
why did we give you that movie?
Because it has to do with space.
And you got a space boner.
And I have a space boner. Right now I do.
In space, no one can hear your boner.
Defying all gravity.
Oh,
you like that?
That was good, dude.
Yeah.
Hook, line, and sinker. I want to see this porno flick.
In space, no one can hear you orgasm.
Awful. So,
what about the movie, Joe?
I don't know.
I don't know what that was either.
That was from our live audience.
Try to ignore him and just
shut up.
It's very difficult because he makes himself very known. So I honestly went into this thinking that this is going to be like my own personal torture theater. Like it's a subject matter that I would that I like, but I didn't think I would like the movie. And I ended up actually liking it. It's really weird because the movie is actually a combination of like 28 Days Later and The Thing and Red Planet, which is a really weird combination to think of.
28 Red Things Later?
28 Red Things Later, yeah.
Nailed it.
Red Planet blew.
It did, but it happened on Mars.
Ghost of Mars.
No, it got the goal.
Hey, I'm doing the space movie. Who do you want to have in it?
Cody? Ice Cube.
Okay, good.
So we got one.
We don't need any more.
Who's this young Jason Statham? Statham? Whatever. Don't worry. Put him in the movie too.
That shirt on.
On the Ice Cube front, I want to say I saw a picture of like a soda machine somewhere. Somebody put a picture of Ice Cube on the ice machine.
Oh,
and then
nice.
Iced tea on the ice teas.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I've been to a Taco Bell once where iced tea was on the Lipton thing. I was like,
that's pretty dope.
I was like, I don't like Lipton, but I'll get some iced tea. You know what I mean? As long as that crazy blonde bitch ain't around.
You just
Coco. No one wants that shit. It's the farthest thing from Coco I've ever seen in my life. Anyways, go back to your movie. Who's in it?
So I was surprised to see it because I didn't read. You assigned me this movie, and I honestly wanted to go into it like not really knowing anything about it. So then the first, actually, the annoying thing it was only like 2 minutes, but it felt like longer. It was literally like six or seven production companies attached to this thing, so it was like so and so in production with so and so. In association with so and so, created by so and so, and co-created by blah blah blah. I was like, oh my god,
that's a bad sign for a movie when you're going in and so many hands are in the pots, dude. You're like, I don't know,
couldn't read half of them.
And then if it's an independent movie, I don't want it to be a space movie either. That's another turnoff for me.
Iron Sky, glorious,
a little bit different.
The surprising thing is that it didn't look very low budget, like I expected the same thing, but everything look like they actually put detail into it, and they actually had moving, like they built these giant landers, these giant.
They had really moving pictures.
They did. But so getting past that, the first scene you see is Liv Schreiber and whoever the other chick was.
So Liev Schreiber's in this movie?
Hey,
tell them what you said to me today when we were walking into Sprouts. I want to ask you about your movie. If you watched it or not.
I said, hey, did you know Liev Schreiber was in that movie?
No, I don't. He's like, hey, did you know Sabretooth is in that? I wanted to look at him and go, how'd they fit the gloves on his claws? Like,
well, no, you see, what happened was he did this, and he got radiation from space.
The space radiation.
So they saved him, and then he became Sabretooth. Because
weird.
Obviously,
I didn't know Tyler Mayne was in that movie. like that?
Throw back to the good ones. Yeah, go ahead.
So you're not really told exactly what they're doing on Mars immediately. You find out that they are trying to find life on Mars, and they're literally are on their last day. The next day is when they're going to switch out between their crew and another crew that's going to be coming on.
Coming on.
Anyway, so you then find out this one scientist wants to, because a big dust storm is coming along, and everybody's called back, but this one scientist and his friend convinced the commander to let them go out to fix a sonar or a sensor glitch. And in reality, what they did was they actually found possible proof of life on Mars, and they wanted to actually go out there and collect the samples for themselves. For some reason, they wanted to pretty much take the credit for themselves. Every good scientist does, exactly. So what happens is, right where they're taking the samples, the ground just caves in, and one of the scientists just falls, and you're pretty much assuming that he's dead, because he's not, there's no radio contact or anything about it. The other guy hightails it back to the main base, everybody comes back, and they're like, oh, he's probably dead. Liv Schreiber tries to go down there and see what's happening, but apparently you find out he has, like, some sort of claustrophobia or something, which is something you think that they would have weeded out, in his
maybe being hired to be an astronaut until he was
late onset claustrophobia.
It's like a thing.
It was weird. They kept doing flashbacks to it. In the end, it kind of made sense. They kept doing flashbacks to him almost shooting himself outside of the airlock on his way on their way to Mars. It was really weird.
Shooting gun shooting?
No. Shooting himself out of the airlock. Sure. You know, so he like depressurized it and almost like went out into space. You know, but was saved at the last minute.
Horrible way to die.
Seriously.
Horrible way to die.
Anyway, so fast forward, they're all back in the command center. It's nighttime. One of the other chicks that's there goes out to apparently try and retrieve the body, which didn't really make sense to me, like why she was the only one that was going out there. So really, I'm sitting here during this movie just because, like I said, I didn't know anything about it. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, where are they going with this? And the chick gets pulled into the crater, and she's basically presumed dead, so they send out another team to try and find her. They don't find any evidence of the two inside the hole, but then they see like tracks going away from the hole and going back to the command module, and they're like, you know, well, they must be alive. So you go back to the command module, and the people who are still left there, you know, see them on the screens, and there's like alarms going off that people are approaching. They're like, you know, are they just walked back, you know, to the command module? And they eventually get to the door, and one of them lets the people in. That's when you find out that they're actually like these weird zombie things. Yeah. So I was like, holy shit, this thing just turned into a horror movie. I was like, what the fuck? So they get into a little bit of a scuffle, and the zombie actually, because they're like weirdly intelligent zombies, he like grabbed a drill and stuck it into the guy and just like drilled him. Yeah. Then they
chase for anybody.
No, not good for anybody at all. They ended up chasing. There was another chick there that they ended up chasing around the command module. Mm-hmm. And eventually, she like locks them in this just a room full of beakers and stuff like that. And you find out that she had thrown a glass of water at one of them, and it stops and it just starts like licking up the water on the ground. So you're like, wow, these things are like just, they feed off of water. So
they're just really thirsty.
They're just really, because they look super dry. They did.
And water's super moist. Sorry.
But so it was actually pretty good. It flows from there. The intelligence of the zombies was kind of cool too, because they lock them eventually in that one command center. Although the design of their space station thing didn't really make sense to me, because you had like a command module, and then you'd have to actually physically leave that command module in order to go to their hydroponics bay. But so they locked the first couple of zombies in the command module, and the zombies actually use the detonating, like some sort of explosives that they had there for detonating stuff. They blow half the wall away and they get out. It's like, these
dicks.
These fuckers are not joking.
We want your water, but we can't talk because we're super dry.
Yeah.
Water. Oh, that's all we wanted. It's the end of the movie.
But so
the end of the movie is like five people just sitting there. God damn.
It's so much.
Really needed some water.
You find out it's like some sort of bacterium, but they're not sure of like how it's spread, because, you know, you don't see how they really caught it when they fell into the hole. And they kind of make the insinuation that you have to be like cut in order to get infected by it. Like, it wasn't, you know, not something that you just like breathed in or something. Yeah, like Ebola.
So it's not space herpes.
Yeah.
Get fucking space. Right?
No. So they think that they eventually get to the point where that they can kill off the bacteria with like the antibacterial stuff that they have there.
Hand sanitizer
on them.
No, the
it's water. They drink it.
Worst water ever. Ooh, I can talk.
No, they have like penicillin and stuff like that that they figured that they could try and kill them off like that, but it's like so advanced that it just automatically becomes immune to it. So these, you know.
So they're fucked.
They're fucked. Pretty much, they're fucked.
They should have tried Robitussin.
We're almost out. Get some water. They like water.
Give them the Tussin.
Got more Tussin.
This is water. I can see it says Tussin on the packaging. I'm not dumb.
I'm a zombie. Yeah. I'm not an idiot.
Drill.
They weren't the slow zombies either, which was really scary.
See,
they were the
fuck
fucking fast zombies.
Man, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with changing it. Like, it makes a little bit of sense. Not a whole lot of sense after a while because they would just be decayed. But people who bring that up, like, 28 days later, they weren't zombies. All right, so shut your fucking mouths. Anyways, go ahead.
Let's see. So it eventually gets down to the point where it's just Liv Schreiber, this other chick, and then this one, like, nerdy, scared dude.
And, you when you help me.
Yeah, exactly. They,
you?
It was you.
You were in the movie.
Well, I wanted you to
you
watch
shaved
it.
For it?
It's before awesome. I grew the beard.
Oh.
So fourth grade.
Baby face Cody.
Fourth grade, like 5 years ago or something.
I fucking wish. Mike's the young one.
So they eventually get out in one of their landers. Which I should mention, it was funny to see. I don't know if this is just what they called the system, but their little buggies that they used had these tablets in them. And right there on the freaking side of it in large letters, they said Arcos. Like the tablet, you know,
like
the
shitty fucking
like the shitty,
tablets from
exactly,
Creative.
Yeah. And then they were using
that's
them
how you know their space mission failed.
They were using them throughout the whole entire ship. It was just they'd pick up this pad and it would just say Arcos on the side of it.
Like, so when you're an independent movie, you're like is there any technology
like Wayne's
company
World?
That can give us some yeah. shit?
It's like I don't drink anything to you know, quench my thirst.
Pepsi. I have a headache. Take one of these.
Oh, pills say import. Yeah.
Little, yellow, different.
So the little buggy thing only has like half a charge in order to get because they've actually gotten communication with the inbound spacecraft that's supposed to pick them up and drop off the next crew. So they're trying to get to the rendezvous site, but their little buggy only has enough power to get kind of there. So they decided to go back to the excavation site where they found the where the first guy had died because they for some reason left a buggy there that was fully charged
just in case he came back.
Sure. When they get there, the scared dude decides to take it by himself because the chick at one point had gotten stabbed in the legs with a pair of scissors.
Fuck that shit.
So there's this moments where you're like, you know, is she infected? Is not? Is she not? Like, is that how it spread? Because literally, it was just like stab, and that was it. He takes off, and you actually end up finding out that he was infected as well because he got choked out by one of the zombies. Like, it was spread by the touch essentially of them.
So it don't have to be cut. It just has to be skin contact.
Yeah, skin contact. So what was really horrible is that Liv Schreiber and the chick they almost make it to the landing site that the battery had ran out in their thing. They stayed the night there because the rendezvous was the next morning, and he wakes up. The chick is leaving because she knows that she's infected. Like there was nothing that
she can feel the space herbs.
She
can
feel
out.
Yeah, and she actually forces him to kill her with like a rock. It was gnarly. He was just like sitting there beating on her face with a rock.
Is the rock made of water?
No, he was hitting her with a rock.
So, like, you can just, like, go get it, throw it out, and lock the door.
No, she was, like, on her way. She was walking away.
Oh, okay.
So he was he had that, you know, that thing where he's like, no, come back.
Oh, no, I can save you.
Yeah, even though I can't save you.
Beat your head in with a rock.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So he turns around, and there's the ship coming down, and he's running to it, trying to make contact with the people that are landing. And just as he makes it over the crest of this, like, hill that he's on, you can just see, like, all of the infected people are just trying to make it to that ship.
Ugh.
Oh, it was fucking awful. And the course...
All right, turn this bitch around.
Yeah.
Nope, no landing. Fuck you.
Well, no, and they couldn't hear him. So he's sitting there going, dude, don't let anybody in. They're all infected with it. Don't let anybody in. They couldn't hear him. So, but he could hear them. On the comms.
Oh, gross.
So they land and they kicked up all this dust, and you can hear the communications between the ship and them going, you know, oh, there's somebody off front. It's weird. You know, identify yourself, and, you know, nothing's going on. And they decide to open the doors because there's nobody else on Mars but these people. I mean, like, who
it's Mars.
Yeah. And you just hear screaming and yelling and fucking Liv Shriver just goes right into the dust walking by, and you can just see the zombies are like actually eating, you know, the crew members of this ship that was, you know, landing to see them. And he gets onto the ship and he just closes the door, and he's, you know, he's looking around, and you're like, he actually made it. Holy crap, he actually fucking made it off this thing. And he walks into the cockpit, and that's where he finds the scared dude who got choked out, which you can see at this point that he's actually infected, and he's trying to take off. And Liv Shriver's like, you know, you can't do this. You're going to bring the infection back to Earth. And so
he kills him with a rock and kicks his ass out.
No, but he does kick his ass out. So the guy starts lifting off, and greatest engines of all time on this ship, because they literally go from ground level all the way up into space in the matter of like a minute or two. And but they're fighting this whole entire time, and the infected guy pulls out a knife and just stabs it right through the fucking glass of the spacesuit that he was wearing, and just barely nicks Liv Shriver on the cheek. And right when they get into space, he ends up kicking the guy out into one of the spacing out on it right now.
Airlocks?
Airlocks, yeah. There you go. Kicks him out in the airlock.
Queen alien that shit?
Yeah, queen aliens that shit. Makes it back inside, and then he sends out a communication to the Earth, essentially, because there was nobody else on that. There's a spaceship that comes, and then there's the pod that they dropped off to in order to try and pick everybody up and then take it back up. But he's wasted all of his fuel just getting up into space, and he can't get over to the space station itself that they have in orbit. And so he's just sitting there floating in space, and he sends out this communication to Earth saying he's alive, that he has enough food and stuff to last for 6 months, because they had the supplies that they were going to drop off to Mars, but that he may be infected. And that's where it ends. It just pans out, and that's where it ends. I was like, that's was actually kind of cool.
3 days of eating like a fucking king, and then if I'm still infected, or if I know I'm infected, I just boot my ass out there a lot.
Yeah.
Because at that point, if you eat like you eat 6 months of food in 3 days, you're going to want to kill yourself.
Probably.
Because that shit is going to be raw. Oh,
yeah. Especially space food.
Space shit, no less, dude.
But yeah, so it was actually, I mean, surprisingly, it wasn't a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. Even looking at like the, I believe I have like 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it was.
Would you watch it again? Say, in a year or 2 years, you're flipping through the channels and it's on AMC.
You say that, and I literally, when I first started watching the movie, once I got past those fucking beginning credits, I sat there and I was like, I've seen this movie.
Oh.
I've totally seen this movie. Oh, nope, I didn't see the whole movie. I saw the first part of it and thought, fuck this.
Okay, so now that you've seen the whole thing, flipping through the channels in a couple years, it's on, you stop and watch it.
If it's during like Halloween, because I'm always in that type of horror movie mood during Halloween, yeah, definitely stop and watch it. Yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, because it wasn't a bad, like the acting and everything wasn't bad at all. Yeah, the script was a little wonky and some of the logic was a little weird, but no, not a bad movie. Especially going into it not knowing what it was and finding out that it was this horror movie. Yeah.
All right.
All right, so to go into this week's assignments.
We'll be real brief on that.
Yep, just to tell you what I gave everybody. So I gave Joe...
Lock and Key.
Lock and Key by Joe Hill.
Yeah.
And then I gave Mike...
The Cape.
Also by Joe Hill, sort of. It's based on a short story.
Based on 6 seasons and a movie.
Yep.
Cape, NBC hit show.
Yep, trust me.
Hitting you.
If this was that show, it would still be on the air.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It is awesome.
And I've heard of Lock and Key.
Yes.
Never heard of The Cape.
You're welcome.
So I have.
That works for you, because I've heard of Lock. I've heard of The Cape, but I've not heard of Lock and Key.
Oh, so
I've
Cody's
heard of Lock and Key.
Oh, you clever fuck. So yeah,
I tricked you.
I have no preconceived anything going into this, so I'm gonna read it this week. See what I think.
It's about luchadors.
Oh, dope.
Not at all.
Nachos.
No, don't be dumb.
Sorry.
Yeah, that great movie Nacho Luchador. Is that what it was called?
Yep, close enough.
Starring John White.
It could have been like Tim or something.
Dude,
you know how like every time there's I wanted to do it like the whole time. Yeah, that was Inception. It wasn't the White Stripes.
Bomb. 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 Shut up. Say what you're going to say.
I don't know anything about this book, so I'm excited. I'll read it. My review is coming next week. With that being said, have you?
Well, I was just going to say that I kind of know what Lock and Key is about, but I honestly don't think it would have been something that I would have actually picked up and read by myself. I wouldn't have purchased it. What are you doing? What are you reading this week?
I got it.
What?
I had one that I thought we were going to do the setup a little bit differently and just everybody throw a suggestion into the pile and everyone gets to pick the one they want.
Nope, that's not how it works.
It's not how it worked. But I still have my suggestion, and it's because I saw it on a movie channel recently, and I love this movie, and I know you've seen it, but I guarantee you it's been at least... I don't know. I won't put it past you being within a 2-year span. But I'm throwing out The Rookie.
That's not bad.
Which one?
Clint Eastwood and Charlie Sheen.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if the Brendan Fraser one, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And the fucking Dennis...
Dennis Quaid.
Quaid one, I will not talk to you anymore.
But I love The Rookie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's on my top 5 list for Clint Eastwood, for sure. It's on my top 3 list for Charlie Sheen, for sure.
Right after The Chase.
Right after Hot Shots Part 2.
But no. So when's the last time you seen The Rookie?
Been a few years.
All right, cool. So, and that's one that I want people listening to this to go out and watch, because it's not one of those Clint Eastwood movies that everyone's seen. You've never seen it.
No, I've seen it.
You have seen it?
Yeah. I don't remember, but yeah, I know I've seen it. I've seen
Fuck you.
I've seen almost every Clint Eastwood movie out there, with the exception of the one of the last ones that he did.
Which one?
Trouble with the Curve?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Don't worry, it's not a good movie.
It's not a good movie. You I watched it, though. One.
Yeah, I did too.
Well,
I've seen Absolute Power. I've seen a lot of his older stuff. When he did westerns and stuff.
All the spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, spaghetti westerns. Not all of them.
No, yeah, they're not all.
But the early ones.
Like, you never seen Heartbreak Ridge?
I've seen it.
Oh, I thought you said no. Now.
It's been years since I've seen it, because I've seen it on TV. They have that western channel.
AMC does Heartbreak Ridge all the time. But no, so yeah, I thought of that one. I'm going to watch it this week too, because I'm trying to find it. I thought I had it on DVD, but...
It's not on the Netflix?
I don't know. Do I have to rent it from somewhere? Yeah, more than likely. I didn't even look for it, because I knew you'd probably take this one. And I know you have ways...
Of finding stuff.
Of getting stuff things online. Done, Mr. Bond.
I will find you.
Speaking of Bond... Did you see who they're looking at for the villain for the new Bond movie?
I did.
Christoph Waltz?
Yep.
It's exciting.
And Batista is supposed to be a
well-known henchman from the past.
Yeah.
Odd job?
I thought they were trying to recast...
Jaws, dude.
I thought they tried. Oh, were trying to recast Jaws.
Can you imagine him throwing a fucking hat? That thing's going to go right through somebody.
It would, but...
I wouldn't be Jaws, though.
No, I thought they were trying to recast Jaws.
No, they haven't said.
They haven't said?
But I want him to be like a super fucked up, like, jagged teeth and just bites, like, bloody messes out of people. His version of Jaws is more like
the first rated R James Bond movie ever.
That would be awesome. Oh, my God.
Hasn't been any rated R ones?
I don't think so.
The Daniel Craig ones weren't rated R?
No, I don't think so.
They didn't really have any nudity in them.
That's true.
I mean, the worst was
see-through, but...
The worst was the violence.
The crushing of his balls by the fucking knotted rope.
Oh.
To the left. Yeah, so, all right. So, I got The Cape. Joe's got Lock and Key. Cody's got The Rookie, starring Clint Eastwood and Charlie Sheen. Exciting stuff, because I'm going to read The Cape and then watch Cody's movie. So in case he flakes on it, I will give a review because I'm excited to see it. So with all that being said, let's get into some stuff. You, I know, saw Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yep.
You saw it?
Went and saw Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh,
Joe did not see Dumb and Dumber 2. Cody's thoughts?
I thought it was really funny.
At least from the previews, it looks funny.
And the good thing about it is they didn't show all of it in the all the funny stuff in the previews. There was more.
That's always good.
My only gripe, and this is the only gripe, they did make him even more retarded than they were in the first one.
That did seem like it, though, too.
But they really piled on the retardedness, which is the only thing that really bothered me. Because you know, they were pretty fucking stupid from the first one.
But it almost seems like uncannily stupid.
This one, it is uncannily stupid. Like, no one can get this far in life without knowing some of the things that they were shocked about hearing. I was like,
yeah,
come on.
It did. The big one at the end made me chuckle, though. Like, I knew it was dumb, but I did. I was like, ha ha ha.
What was it?
What made me laugh, well, I'll spoil it. So what made me laugh about that is the fact that they think they had sex with her when they actually didn't. But then when she explains them what sex is, by that time in their life, you would have thought maybe they thought they had sex with her, but like their interpretation of sex was not it. And what came back, what really killed it for me, is they, like, they're like, oh my God, like freaking out because she whispers it into their ears. He's like, oh, that's dirty. And Jim Carrey comes running back, goes, okay, I'll have sloppy seconds. But I was like, then you know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you know what sloppy line, seconds is.
But the sloppy seconds line made me laugh, though.
It did make me laugh because I was super excited.
Like, it was super
but
dumb.
In order to know that, you'd have to know.
Well, it's a Dumb and Dumber sequel 20 years later.
Yeah,
I'm
but
not
my,
expecting
my feeling
any...
about that is Jeff Daniels didn't say me first. Jim Carrey automatically offered seconds, sloppy seconds.
Yeah. So that would be funny. Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
it was
that was
hilarious.
That was what's funny to me. My favorite part, though, and I'll ruin the stinger scene for everybody, is when they're riding at the end of during the credits, they're riding away on the Zamboni they stole earlier in the movie, and they're eating ice cream off a cone on a Zamboni.
Milkshakes.
Oh, milkshakes, yeah.
Drinking
milkshakes.
That's very important.
Yeah.
It's not.
But they're driving on a Zamboni on a highway, right?
Okay.
Zooming along, and Jim Carrey goes, oh, well, Lloyd Christmas says, oh, that's weird. I ordered a chocolate shake, they gave me vanilla. And then Harry goes, yeah, that's weird, they gave me a chocolate, and I ordered vanilla. Ah, forget this. And
they always screw that order up.
And they throw it behind them. And then it hits the windshield of a semi-truck. And the windshield wipers, and it's Seabass and his friend from the first one. And he's like, kick his ass, Seabass. And he goes, boom. And it shows one of those old school billboards with like the picket fence below in the bushes. And it says, Dumb and Dumber 4, spelled F-O-R, coming 2034.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
I went in with like super low expectations because I was like, oh man, 20 years for a sequel. But I wanted to see it at the same time. It was a weird, I never felt that way. Like I almost knew the movie was going to be bad, but I still wanted to see it. But no, it's not
the first one.
It's not on par with the first one, obviously, at all, because the first one's one of the best comedies ever. But it's pretty funny. It's worth, I don't know. You got to be kind of, it's kind of borderline whether it's worth to go watch it in theaters. But once it comes around, like, definitely give it a shot.
Well, what did it for me, though, is when we decided to go watch it, Furman and I, and no one else did, was way ahead of time. So I watched the first one before I went and saw it so I could, you know, remember all this stuff. Not that I didn't remember any of it because it's one of the greatest comedies I've ever seen it many times. But it did help remembering and seeing the jokes they played off from the first one, because everyone's complaint with the movie is it's a rehash of the first one. It's not. They use a lot of the content, like a lot of the jokes from the first one, and add on to them for this one. It's like a continued joke. You know what I mean?
I thought as a sequel goes, it actually made sense as you know how they did it. I'm like, okay, I can understand. This is 20 years later in the thing.
But what made me laugh the most is the blind kid. So the kid they sell
from the first movie.
Gets his head
pretty
shot
Polly,
off.
Pretty.
Yeah. So he's grown up, right?
Yeah.
And he has a collection, and they live in the same apartment building as from the first one, and he still lives there, but he has a collection of birds, like exotic birds now, right?
Please tell me they're all alive.
They're all alive, okay. And he's like playing with one out front, and it's a big old It's a big old one that he's playing with, and he learned to like teach him to talk. And he goes, "Hey, let's sneak by him. Like, I don't want to start up any problems, you know, because like it's been 20 years, and he hasn't seen Lloyd since the whole like you know capture the bird thing." Yeah, that's what they say in the movie. He's like, I haven't seen you that long. He's like, hey. So he's like, let's just sneak by. He's like, we can't. He's, because he's blind, all his other senses are heightened. He's like, that's a myth. So they go and they're like, and he's like, oh, hey. And they start talking. He's like, oh, get away. You know, it's like, so they walk away and then they jump out from the side of the camera and scare him. He's like, I told you it was a wives' tale or a wise tale or what it was. It was really funny. But the part that made me laugh the most is when they left, like a good like 25 minutes past the point where they left on their trip to find Harry's daughter. They're in the hotel room and it's middle of the night and Harry sends him, goes, we got to go back to Rhode Island. And he's like, why? He's like, because I forgot to feed Butthole. I forget because his roommate is a meth maker. So he's on a big trip to go make a delivery.
Nice.
Of his rock candy, as Harry thinks it is.
Nice.
And he says, I forgot to feed Butthole. He's like, and Lloyd's like, don't worry, I took care of it. I left a note on the kid's door, and I gave him some food and threw Butthole into his apartment. Oh. And so it cuts back to the apartment, and here comes the kid in the wheelchair, and he's got his bird who talks, and he walks in, and he goes, okay, hey, everyone, I'm home. Everyone? And he's looking around, and there's blood and fucking feathers everywhere, and the cages are knocked over, and there's the cat, like, on the chair. Oh, dude, I was fucking dying.
Oh, what the cat did, though,
yeah,
made me laugh so hard. So the cat jumps up, and you see the cat, and it looks all evil and shit. Fart, and feathers everywhere. Yeah. I lost my shit. I was like, oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
A feather fart. That was the best thing.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was, I would have liked more out of it.
Yeah.
But it was still really funny.
Cool.
Well, one of the things, I mean, because I haven't seen Dumb and Dumber in a while, but
3 or 4 weeks.
Watching this one, and then at the end. While the credits are rolling, they're showing pictures, you know, stills from this movie and then stills from the original one. And you're like, well, these motherfuckers are old as shit now.
Yeah, but it's cool because what they do is they show the correlation of them from this scene and then what this scene was, which you realize if you, at that point you don't realize it, you're fucking retarded. You're dumber than they are. That basically it's the companion scene to it. Like they show the little kid in the wheelchair and they show him again, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same actor and he's an adult now, obviously, because 20 years later, not still a little kid in a wheelchair. He's just a guy in a wheelchair now.
Just some dude in a wheelchair.
Some weirdo.
But what Eric, I was talking to Eric about it today because he hadn't seen it yet and he was asking me about it. He was like, I was telling him about about Harry's parents and being Korean. And like, because it's adoptive parents, they went to, the whole premise is Harry has a failing kidney and he needs a transplant. So the reason he kept going, like he basically wanted to tell Lloyd about it. Lloyd refuses to give him a kidney. Like he's like, no, you can't have my kidney. Let's go to one of your parents. So you go there and you realize he's adopted.
So he can't.
So they're not going to be matches. Like the likelihood of them being a match for him completely out the window. Cause they're super old, but also
Korean.
They're Korean.
And the funnier part of that is when they actually told him in that scene that he was adopted, he was upset, which made me laugh. I was like, that's classic Dumb and Dumber. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and then, so like that's funny. And so they're going after basically his daughter to see if she would give up a kidney. But like it's just really funny because like Eric's like, oh, that doesn't make sense because in Dumb and Dumber, his parents, Harry's parents, dad was Luis Guzman. I'm like, first off, we're erasing that shit-tastic movie from being ever in existence.
Even they were.
Yeah. And that one doesn't count. It's not canon. It's garbage.
It's like alternate universe.
Yeah, it's like Earth 2.
Yeah.
So, right. But I thought it was pretty funny.
Pretty good. You guys want to wrap this one up?
A couple more minutes real quick. Couple
news things
that I found that pertains to us as, you know, friends and lovers of pop culture. So
I thought you were going to stop after lovers. I was like, we are not friends and lovers, goddammit.
First off, why did you jump there?
Lovers first.
we're lovers and friends? He's like, less the second one, a lot more the first one. Rump. Couple new things, Interstellar related. The first one, AMC and Paramount Pictures have come up with a Interstellar Unlimited ticket. So they range anywhere from $19.99 to $34.99, depending if it's 3D, IMAX, or whatever. And basically, you buy this ticket. It's a commemorative ticket. And you can watch Interstellar as many times you want at participating theaters until it leaves.
Which, they're going to see how well this does and then try, and if it's popular, they're going to apply it towards other blockbusters. You know, so you can... I know Cody would do that. Hell yeah. But you know, certain movies.
It's not that more... Like, it's essentially...
It really...
It's,
and it, honestly,
it's like
yeah.
two tickets, essentially.
Yeah, which was surprising. IMAX.
Yeah, like, I expected when I first saw it, I was like, $150. I'm like, there's no fucking way I'd spend $150 on a movie to see as many times as I want. But $35, on the other hand, yes, please.
Yeah.
Especially if it's in IMAX and or 3D.
Yep. And then I can see it unlimited.
Yeah, and unlimited. Like, I will watch
you really,
that 3-hour movie.
You really could fulfill that thing what we've always talked about. We walk out of the movie theater and go, let's see it again.
Roll it again, kids, because guess what? There's a showing starting right now.
Do I have to go around front? I'm just gonna go in, guys.
And they're like, yeah, go ahead.
I got passes.
We know who you are. Go in. So that was pretty interesting to me. And one of the cool things is I'm not a AMC stub member because I don't really like going to AMC.
Not really an AMC member.
Yeah, like I've been to AMC twice in the last year only because of Tusk. And Dan wanted to go see try the new AMC with the cool recliner chairs and assigned seating at the Arrowhead Mall, which wasn't bad except for the fact that it's way too fucking expensive for concessions at that fucking theater.
But the concessions the last time I was there were just light years better than what they were in the past. I mean, there was more stuff to get.
There is, yeah.
It was like it vastly more expensive.
The problem
but...
is a large soda and a medium popcorn shouldn't cost one person $13 and some change.
It shouldn't. They do have the refills that you can do, but like Cody would probably point out,
who the fuck is gonna get in the movie to go refill their soda? Well, that's why I bought a large.
If you do the Interstellar ticket, you can keep getting
every
refilled.
Time. Because I will show up. What time's the early showing Interstellar? 9. All right, I'm coming in, and
actually,
I will leave when they close.
Isn't there large popcorn like unlimited as well, or like the souvenir popcorn?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
No,
that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Just surviving off of popcorn and soda all day, watching Interstellar.
And have the worst diabetes shits ever.
But you're watching Interstellar.
Yeah. But so the thing about it, so that if you're an AMC stub member and you've already bought a ticket, you can actually upgrade yours to the unlimited ticket for $14.99.
Which is actually a pretty good cool deal.
Yep. So
they do something like that for, like, say, an Avengers.
yes.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, Harkins, I love you and all, and I like your commemorative cups and the fact that I can get $1.50 for a soda, but I can't watch Avengers as many times as I want, so go fuck yourselves, because I quit my job. I'm taking my vacation. What are you gonna do?
Go watch
Avengers a bunch. What? Don't worry about it. I said what I said. So that was Interstellar News number one. Interstellar News number two. I can't talk because I've been drinking all day. Is Christopher Nolan released an Interstellar prequel comic online for free. It focuses on Dr. Mann.
Yep. Haven't read it yet, but I really do want to read it.
So that should be fun. Spoilers, if you don't know what it is, don't read it yet.
Yeah, because it actually has spoilers in it.
Will ruin a huge plot twist in the movie
yep.
that you don't want to happen.
Nope.
Because it'll ruin a very epic fucking scene from that movie.
Yep.
So that was that one. Let's see... David Spade posted a picture of the first day filming of Joe Dirt 2, which bothers me because he has the same wig from the first movie, not the second wig from the first movie. So it's not the braids, it's the mullet.
But, you know,
whatever.
It's classic of him.
Yep, whatever. You know, I'm just saying. Let's see. Some casting rumors going about. So not that I really care about it, but I thought it was interesting. They are getting ready to... There's rumors they're getting ready to recast Cyclops and Phoenix for X-Men Apocalypse.
Which they need to do anyway.
Yep, because they're going younger. There are a few actresses set up for Jean Grey's character, or Phoenix as they list her here. The first one is Ellie Fanning from Maleficent. She played Sleeping Beauty in that one. This one was interesting to me because the three actresses they chose to go after were actually like someone you know of. So the second one is Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh,
yep. So that's pretty a hit girl in the Kick-Ass movies. Played. I mean, she's a Carrie remake, all that fun stuff. Let the right one is the remake or is the original. She's also in the newest one is If I Stay, which is that like tear jerker movie that I haven't seen. And the last one is Haley Steinfeld from True Grit, the little girl from True Grit.
Oh, okay.
The new, the, obviously, the, not the original, because she wouldn't be a little girl. So I thought that was pretty interesting. She probably.
Oh, she is.
Fair enough. So those are the three actresses they were looking at for, rumored to be looking at for Jean Grey.
All right, Cyclops.
Cyclops. They went for pretty much unknown actors, which is weird to me.
I get that, but
So the first one, who's not so much unknown now, because he played the son in Interstellar when he was young. And his name is Timothy Chalamet, which I'm pretty sure he's English because Timothy is spelled with two E's at the end. So pretty sure that's English of some sort.
Why don't they just cast Casey Affleck?
Because he has to be a kid.
Yeah, they're going for a younger team.
Yep. There's Ben Hardy, who is in a movie called EastEnders. He's also European.
Also, and then, Tom's little brother.
Yes. I have no idea.
Really? Oh, shit. I called that one.
I have no clue. I didn't look him up. He's relatively unknown, so I'm not too sure. And then the last one is Charlie Rowe, who is in that new Steven Spielberg show, Red Band Society.
Glass Dome. The Dome, not Glass Dome.
That's not Steven Spielberg.
No. Stephen King.
That was Stephen King's The Dome.
I thought that's what you said.
Nope. Not a close.
And I said what is Red Band Society.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty.
That's that TV show that looks awful.
Yeah, about the kids in the sick hospital
and
thing.
And that black lady that got famous for playing a maid.
Yes. And then so
she won an Oscar for it. So I'm not like saying she got famous for being a maid. I'm saying, fuck you, Joe.
So, and this one pertains to us a little more because we're excited about these ones. And this is casting rumors for the Netflix shows Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Oh, cool. I haven't heard this.
Yes. So this is from today.
Stupid real work hours, and I can't fucking be on Twitter all day.
Yeah, yep. No.
So, starting with Jessica Jones, they have four actresses they're looking at. One of them I don't like the choice of, but whatever. Marvel knows what they're doing. So there is Kristen Ritter, who is in Breaking Bad. She played Jesse's girlfriend who overdosed and vomited or choked on her own vomit and Walter died, blah, blah, blah.
If she can bulk up.
She was on The Nerdist.
Yeah.
She was good there.
Oh, she's funny. Yeah. I don't know, you look at her and you go. Yeah, she's not like, you know, she doesn't look formidable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's another Wonder Woman.
Number two.
Number two is Alexandria Daddario.
Don't like that last name. Number three.
Nope. Listen, this is a good one because this is the girl I was trying to think of when we were talking about the Wonder Woman casting. Okay. She's the one. She plays the female lead in the Percy Jackson movies.
Oh, okay.
Athena's daughter. I thought she would be good, so she'd be good. She's also in True Detective. Is the one said mistress that Woody Harrelson.
What's her last name again?
I want to say it's Daddario or something like that. Daddario. It's Daddario.
Too many D's.
Yep. Double D's there. That's a true fact. You see him in True Detective, which is weird because like last time you saw her, she played a teenager, so it was weird. Anyways, there's Teresa Palmer, who is in Warm Bodies, which I have not seen. Everyone says it's really funny, but whatever.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
Someone said Warm Bodies is really funny?
Yeah.
Fuck them.
I know. Sorry, Dan. And then Jessica DeGaux, who's in Arrow.
Who in Arrow?
I don't know. I have to look it up. We didn't look it up. But
I can't think of any chick in Arrow that's not cool. So
yeah, cool.
Cast her. Cast the Arrow chick.
Yep, I would be okay with either her or Alexander.
Fucking Morse code.
There's two actors rumored up for the front runners for Luke Cage.
First
one. Lance Gross, who was in Crisis, a TV show about paramedics, I think, if I'm mistaken. And then the one I was excited about is Halo Nightfall's Michael Coulter, who plays
Locke. Yes, he would look more like the role.
Yep, because he's pretty buff.
Yeah.
But he looks like Luke Cage because he's got a goatee already, like even in Halo. Just saying.
Are they done with that series? Like,
apparently they're releasing every week because IGN just put up a review of episode 2.
Yeah, I saw that. I was surprised, but is it done enough where he could go and do this?
Oh no, it's completely done.
Yeah, okay. He could go and do this. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And then I was reading in the same article they got more detail on it. One of the executive producers is a chick that worked on Dexter and on the Twilight Scribe for I doesn't say which movie, but what worries me about that is she was they say she is no stranger to female superhero shows because she worked on the short-lived Birds of Prey show.
Gross.
So that does not make me feel good. But what makes me excited about this is they're talking more about the Defenders miniseries, and they say that Luke Cage is going to be in 7 of the 13 episodes leading up to his own series, where it'll be in 13 episodes of his own show.
Which will be good.
Yep. So that's pretty exciting, I thought. Fun stuff for me. Idris Elba of many things, unfortunately, the second Ghost Rider movie, but also is in Thor 1 and 2. And
the Black Batman?
Yep. He is reprising his role as Luther in the show Luther for a two-part miniseries on the BBC this year, this coming year, so that's going to be fun for me.
And they are you need remaking to watch that show that
for America. Yeah. Which I'm not really excited about. But
they got the original show creators and stuff to Americanize it.
Yeah, which is cool.
Which I think, like, a British show that's set today or close to today doesn't really need to be remade for America.
It doesn't really need
to. It's enough. We get it.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen Luther, go watch it. It's on Netflix, all three seasons. It's fantastic. It's very Sherlock Holmes-ish in a way, but like more crime drama than Sherlock is, because Sherlock's like mystery, blah, blah, blah. This is more crime drama. It's really fun, and he's amazing in it. And then this one's for Mike,
ooh,
which is funny because it's also about Michael Ealy.
Oh,
yeah.
From our favorite canceled show, Almost Human. He will be taking over as the main antagonist in season 3 of The Following,
which is a show I need to catch up on.
Which I haven't seen one episode of, but you guys say it's good, so I'll watch it.
Not just good, it's fucking amazing.
Yes, it is fantastic.
All right.
It shocks me that it's on Fox.
Yeah, really.
That's how good it is.
It's not played out of order.
Yep.
It
which would be fucking weird if it did. Because like, all of a sudden, boom, Joe blows up. Hey, he's back.
Wait, he's in jail.
What? And the thing with the but his hand's broken, and he's then it wasn't, in this and then it is. Again? Yeah, it's like, oh man. So, what makes me laugh about IGN's article when they pull it up? So obviously, Almost Human has been off the air for over a year now, right? Yeah. So. The title of the article is Underworld Awakenings Michael Ealy Joins the Following Season 3.
What? Yeah, but wait. And the first picture that they have of him is from Almost Human.
Why would they do Underworld Awakening?
Apparently that's his biggest role.
Well, he's been in all those Kevin Hart movies, which I haven't seen any of, yeah, but he got a sequel out of one of them. So, like, it's... Yeah.
Apparently to their audience, Underworld Awakening, which... I had to search for the fact because I've only seen it once because it was awful.
Yeah.
But I was like, who the fuck was
Which one was Awakening?
The one that's set in the future. It's the fourth one. So it's the one that's set in the future where Michael's not actually in it.
Wasn't it like the vampires have taken over and like
the Lycans have taken over.
The Lycans have taken over.
And the vampires are like refugees and things like that. And they're like revolting against them. But they basically like Selena was frozen, but she had a kid. Because she was pregnant at the end of 2.
I don't remember anything about that. I want to watch it. Yeah.
It's okay. Don't watch it.
Nope, I'm watching it.
It's not good, bro. Not good.
I watched it once.
But he played a detective in that one that helped her, which...
Oh, that's right. And he gets, like, thrown into a car and shit. Yeah.
And somehow survives. Yeah. It's, like, a barely, like... Ugh.
It was a very... Actually, if you think about it, it was kind of an Almost Human premise, too. Because, like, he was... The human one, she was like this crazy one, and he was trying to help her. Yeah,
and somehow they made
it. I remember it now.
Yeah. And somehow they made a giant lichen, which doesn't make any sense even in that world.
Like, it looked cool though.
Not really. If you watch it again,
it was really bad.
It was really.
I'm
shitty.
Starting to remember it, and it, I don't want to watch it again.
You're like, yeah, it was no. That was good. That was bad. So
just the idea of a giant lichen sounds cool though.
It does, but it's like, wouldn't it just be a giant dog?
Yeah,
essentially, yeah.
I mean,
fucking. Clifford? That motherfucker gave me nightmares.
Just a giant red dog.
Giant communist dog.
I didn't do my homework. He's going to eat me. In other news, real quick, if anyone's a Katie Sackhoff fan, her show Longmire is coming back to Netflix for this 4th season.
Yeah.
This is a dumb last name, too. Sackhoff.
And there's some article about Zach Braff going back to the director's chair for something or other.
Fuck him.
Going back to the director's chair? Yeah. You mean he just, after he just finished the one movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's some caper comedy it's a remake of something. So that was weird to me, but whatever.
You didn't put Turk in it?
What else is
probably.
He doing?
Turkleton? He was in his...
the other news I forgot to mention too, Keanu Reeves is doing essentially a follow-up to John Wick with the director. Doesn't have to do John Wick, but they're doing another movie together, and it's a sci-fi thriller.
I'm in.
Whoa.
It has time travel in it, so I was like, Alex Winter. Get Alex Winter in it. Because it'd be like sort of like Bill and Ted 3. Because time travel, they're both in it. I'm just saying.
All right.
That's it for stuff I got. Anybody got anything else?
I got shit.
That's it.
All right. So you guys got your stuff to read?
Lock and key.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my bottle of Courvoisier. Yeah, I'm good. Got cape. Let's go.
All right. All right. And I all right. got.
Yeah, why didn't you do the third?
All right. All right. All right.
There we go.
That's it. So, comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Dun, dun.
That was Mike. Bah. I'm Cody.
I'm Mike.
And, I'm Mike. Yo, fuck yourselves.
Later.